Video of the VBS. How cool is that, that you guys are able to minister to 50 to 60 kids, and just the seed that was planted there. We have no idea what these kids are going to be doing in 20, 30 years, and just the faithfulness of the workers. So I wanted to pray those two things. We're just going to take 1 minute, and then we'll go ahead and jump into the message. So first of all, if you have a need of physical healing, all I want you to do is raise your hand, and then the one seated next to you, just put your hand on him. You don't have to pray or anything. I'll do the praying, but we just want to invite the Holy Spirit. He's already here. Wherever two or three are gathered, obviously he's here. We just want to ask him to increase that manifest presence. So if that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand, and those around him, just put your hand on him, and we're going to ask the Lord to come and visit. So, Father, we just say that we love you and we bless you and we thank you, God, that you care about every area of our life and that you care about our physical bodies. And so, Lord, I ask for each one of these, lifting their hands in faith, believing that you want to touch them. I ask, God, that you would meet that faith, that you would release your healing in these bodies. We just say no to sickness, no to disease, no more, even today. Lord, we plead your blood over each one of these, and God, we ask for a complete healing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we want to lift up every child that came this last week to Vacation Bible School. And I ask, Lord, for the word that was planted in their hearts, that it would bear fruit. Lord, it's up to you how much fruit that word bears, but we just call that forth. And I ask, God, that you would bless each and every one of those kids and that you would remind them of what you did in their hearts. And Lord, we lift up the workers. Thank you, God, for them, that they poured out their lives this last week. And I ask, Lord, that you would fill them with everything that they poured out. Would you multiply it back to them? In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen. So, as Frank said, my name is Zach Nicholson. I recognize a good portion of you, but also for those who I don't know who are new, we'll just give just a couple of minute introduction. My wife and I are missionaries to the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and y'all actually stream the prayer room over in this room. All the time, so I'm sure that you're fairly familiar with that. But we were we were in this church for many, many years. My wife and I were actually married here in September of 1999, right in this building. So we're getting ready to celebrate our 20th year anniversary. I have 5 kids. Hey, hallelujah. That's a miracle in this day and age, huh? We have 5 children, and each one of them were baptized in this baptismal. Each year we come home to do a partner celebration with all of our financial partners that keep us at the International House of Prayer, and we've been fortunate enough to have the church open up the baptismal, and we've baptized all of our kids at this church. And I used to be a worship leader here, and my daughter Macy, I'm just going to have her stand up if you guys remember, Macy. So next time I'm going to bring a picture or put it on a slide. I'm going to get real technical one of these days and learn how to do a slideshow. But when I used to lead worship, it was mostly at first service, but she would get up here and she was like 3 years old and we gave her a microphone. It was unplugged. She didn't know that then. Now she's a really good singer. But we would lead worship and she would get up here and sing her heart out to the Lord. So now she's growing up right in front of us. So we are just saying we're thankful for this church. This is really our church family, and we just really love you guys. And no matter how long the Lord has us in Kansas City, this is always our church home. So the message today is called Life Reset, and the Lord just inviting us to reset our hearts to and replumb line to what the Lord's calling us to do. If y'all are familiar with the International House of Prayer, I'm sure a lot of you are. For the ones who aren't, though, it is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week worship and prayer center that hasn't stopped since September of 1999. So for 20 years, no matter Christmas Day, 2 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, any holiday, there is someone, usually it's a whole worship team, just crying out to the Lord, praying, worshiping. So I just think that that's so awesome that over the last 20 years, there has not been one second where Jesus hasn't been glorified, adored, and worshiped. And so that's what the International House of Prayer is. We have over 500 full-time staff members all raise their own support and give themselves to the place of prayer. We have a church that's in part of IHOP, and it's about a 3,000 to 4,000 member church. We have a Bible school, close to 500 or 600 students. And our web stream is broadcast to all 7 continents on the earth. People tune in from all 7 continents. And I had tried to correct the guy that was giving this tour to some of our partners. He was saying, yeah, our web stream is broadcast to all 7 continents. And so after we were done, I didn't want to embarrass him in front of the tour group. I'm like, hey, bro, you know that one of those continents is Antarctica, right? And like, nobody lives there. He's like, well, actually, you're wrong, because there's a scientist that lives down in Antarctica about half of the year. And he tunes into the prayer room quite regularly. So it goes out to all 7 continents on the earth. So it's just a really dynamic ministry, lots of things going on, and it's really just an exciting place to be. But with every ministry, because every ministry has people in it, so there's some serious deficiencies in every ministry that we're a part of. Every ministry has its good points, and every ministry has its bad points. And so the Lord sovereignly came last year in, I think it was September, and just came and just took a wrecking ball to our missions base in a good way, a really good wrecking ball. But sometimes the Lord has to bring that wrecking ball to get our attention, because sometimes we just get so caught up in the mundaneness of life, and we're called to do 24/7, and we got to go after this, and you just get wrapped up into what you're doing, and you don't recognize that, hey, the Lord's trying to get our attention in certain areas. So last year, a group of about 1,000 Chinese leaders, they were part of various ministries. Some were church leaders, underground house church leaders in China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and just a network of these 1,000 Chinese leaders. And they gather throughout the world 2 or 3 times a year in different places. And this year they said, we want to come to Kansas City and just worship with you guys. We're going to have our gathering here, and we're just going to hang out for 4 days. And if y'all know Mike Bickle at all, he is not the kind of guy that, like, just hang out. Like, there has to be an agenda. There has to be line upon line. He actually schedules his own personal life like every 15-minute increments. So he really likes schedule and knows what's going on. So when he would say, so what are we going to do? Like, what do you guys, like, do you have a schedule? He's like, no, we're just literally coming, and we're going to, like, worship and fellowship with you guys. And he just couldn't get his mind around it. And so they come, and that's what we did. We just worshiped and just allowed the Lord to see what he had for us. And little did we know, they were so provoking, these Chinese believers, the love that they had for one another. And the Chinese culture isn't super demonstrative, but just the love that they carried for each other, like during the prayer times and just embracing each other, it was so provoking to our entire missions base. Because one thing about IHOP is extremely hard to build community there. I would say 80 to 90% of the people that are involved with IHOP are not originally from Kansas City. So you get people that move there from all over the earth without family ties, and they just come there and they're trying to connect. You make a good connection or two, and then that person that you're friends with gets called off to, like, Zimbabwe to start a house of prayer, or they go plant a church in Cleveland. So there's constantly coming and going, so community is just really hard to develop, and that was one of the main things that we're deficient in. And so just over the course of these 4 days, just watching these Chinese people love each other and then love us and praying for us, it just really provoked us that, man, we need what they have, just that love for their brothers in that community aspect. And so the Lord really highlighted and touched Diane Bickle, which is Mike's wife, and she was just wrecked over this 4-day period. All of the leaders were pretty impacted by it, but the Lord just highlighted her, and she is weeping almost the whole entire time, just saying, we have to have what you guys have. Like, we can't continue on the next 20 years without what you guys have. And so, long story short, our leadership team started to get together, like, how are we going to respond to this? This is obviously a sovereign move of the Lord that he is speaking clearly, because he's been speaking it a little bit the past couple of years. You guys have to do community. You have to do family better. And then this whole thing was just the culmination of it. And so after a period of a month or so of just different meetings, how do we respond? The Lord's obviously inviting us into this. And so right around that time, we're just like, we're going to just start canceling things. Like the last year was our One Thing conference. It's like the biggest conference that we do each year. 20,000 young adults come and worship from all over the earth. And it's just like, it's an amazing experience. But it's such a tax on the base. Like it's once One Thing season, we call it One Thing season. So from December 1st till January 1st, pretty much the missions base shuts down and everybody is working like crazy to get ready to host the nations. And so it's just a super busy time. And so one of the things that we decided that we're going to respond to is like, we're just going to shut down the conferences. Like this is the last One Thing conference. And we have about 4 or 5 conferences a year to where it's working and super busy. And so they're saying, we're going to start to carve some space out for family time, to where we can get to know each other, where we can fellowship, where we can have small group time to really start to band together in love, because that's what these Chinese believers were imparting to us, that we have to know each other. We have to love each other better. And so that really got my attention, actually, because like I said, that One Thing conference is like our lifeblood. Like it feeds our internships. The bookstore makes enough money in those 4 days to sustain themselves for the whole entire year. So the fact that Mike and the leadership team is so like intent on going after this thing that we're willing to cancel conferences, and he's been very clear, I don't know how to respond to it. I don't know what I'm doing, but like we're going to carve out some space and the Lord's going to help us. And so as this message is starting to touch different churches and people kind of connected with IHOP, the overwhelming majority are kind of saying, you know what, the Lord's been speaking that to our church. The Lord's been speaking that to me personally. So what I want to do today is just invite us all into what the Lord is doing with the house of prayer and invite us all to just reexamine our lives personally and just reset back to what the Lord's calling us to do. That it's like I said earlier, it's just so easy to get in the pace of life that you're just continuing on, and then you kind of, I know I need to get back in the Word, but then the next week passes, 2 weeks passes. And so I just highlighted 3 things here that to call us back to. Now, there's 100 different areas in our lives that we can improve on and the Lord might be calling us to. But personally for me, these are the 3 main areas that he's been speaking. So I just want to invite you into those areas. So the very first one is, and in your outline, I actually switched it just a little bit. So I'm going to go with point number 2 first. It's renew our mind and replumb line to the Lord's heart. Basically, recommit ourselves to the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, it says that your word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's impossible to know the Lord without the Bible. Like, as charismatics and people who believe in the gift of prophecy and the Lord still speaks today, yes, we want that. We love prophecy. We believe that the Lord is active and alive and he wants to speak to his people. But primarily, the Lord is going to talk to you 90, 95% of the time out of the Word of God. And if we are not actively taking time, and hopefully we can do it every day, but like on a regular basis, let's go with that. If we're not carving out time to spend time in the Word to allow the Lord to talk to us, we're not hearing the way that we should be hearing. If you look at the culture now, like it's amazing to see even in the last few years how things are shifting to just being so anti-Christian. And even the Christians who are claiming to be Christians, it's almost like just a form of self-help with just a little bit of Jesus thrown in on it. I never watched The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, so let me just preface this. But I read an article on the news or the internet about one of the contestants on the latest Bachelorette who's a born-again Christian, and he was standing for purity, and apparently the lady was supposed to be a Christian as well, and he just stood for purity, I'm not going to do da-da-da-da-da, and apparently she was doing things with some of the guys on the show, and she turned it all around on him. It's like, how dare you tell me, like, you can't judge me. Like, Jesus forgives me, and like, da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, there's no, like, repentance, no sorrow. It's just like, God loves me, and I can do whatever I want, and yeah, I'm going to mess up, but I'm going to keep going. It's just like we're sprinkling Jesus on there on our lives and doing whatever we want to do. And I really believe that it's because we're disconnected from the Word of God. Like, it's so it's important that we take that time to find out what the Lord's saying to us, carve out that space to allow Him to come and speak to us. I'll share a quick story, just a testimony about how the Lord can speak to you in your quiet time and just really heal different wounds whenever you allow the Lord to just wash you with His Word. My dad and I, many of you know his testimony. He was an alcoholic and just out of control, crazy man. Like, when people hear that he's actually born again and loves Jesus now, and the trailer that we grew up in is now a church, people like look at me and like, wait, what? Your dad is saved and that place is a church? So, long story short, so that's the kind of the trajectory. And he was an alcoholic, verbally abusive, all of that stuff. So I got to the point where I'm like early 20s, and I'm like, I cannot stand him. Like, there's just so much tension here. And so I get baptized in the Spirit. I really turned my life around and started to seek the Lord. And then my dad gets saved too. And he came to me so many times. I'm so sorry for what I did to you guys. Like, oh my gosh, I feel so terrible. Please forgive me. And over the course of, I don't know, he did this over and over again for a few months. But my heart was so hard. It's like, that's great. Glad you're saved. Praise God you're not going to hell, but I do not want to talk to you right now. And so over the course of time, I'm reading in Matthew where the Lord's talking about, I'm a good father. If you ask me for bread, I am not going to give you a stone. And I would read that, and I'm like, well, my dad, he's a funny, practical joker. He would totally give me a stone. He would totally give me a snake. He totally would. So I have no grid for this good father, but I believe it because your word is true. So, Lord, why don't you show me that? You have to show me that. So I carved out the time in my quiet times to just talking to the Lord, because He's real, first of all. He really does speak, and He really does speak through His word. And so over the course of time, it's probably a couple of months, it didn't just happen like that, but He just began to show me, like, my part in the sin. Like, if obviously He was mean and rude, but some of my reactions to Him was not godly at all. And then He just started showing me, well, what about his dad? How was he raised? Like, He told him that He loved him maybe one time in his entire life. So he didn't know how to love a child. They had me when they were like 18 or 19 years old. So yes, he was accountable for his sin and the way that he raised us. But on the other hand, like, he really wasn't, because he had no grid for a father. So as the Lord starts showing me this in my quiet times, it helped me to flip that perspective that it's not all about me and what did he do to me. It's like, oh my gosh, like, you love this guy. And it really turned my heart towards the Father. And so if we don't allow that time in the Word where we're interacting with the Lord, Him speaking to us, us speaking back to Him, then it just don't happen. Like, the Lord's a God of miracles and He can do whatever He wants, but 90% of the time, He's going to respond to our faith. So that's the first thing to reset. That's such a simple truth. But it's a lot of these times, these three simple truths are so simple that we just don't do them, right? We get up in the morning, oh, I got to get out the door, can't read the Bible today, we'll do it tomorrow. And then it turns into a week, a month, or whatever. So I think that's the first thing, is to reset and recommit our hearts to the Word of God. The second thing is to recommit to the body of Christ. The scripture there in Hebrews 10:23, it just talks about exhorting each other to good works and cheering each other on. It talks about don't forsake fellowshipping and gathering together with one another. With the culture that's going on out there, like, we need each other, and it's only going to get worse and worse and worse as the culture continues to shift away from Christianity, that we have to have each other. Iron sharpens iron, and there is something that happens when believers just interact over the Word of God, where we're praying together. It's almost impossible to grow spiritually and mature fully if you're not in the context of a small group. Now, that can be 4 people, 5 people, 15, 20, whatever. It can be a house church or the care groups that we call them, whatever you call it. The point is to gather together in smaller groups outside of the context of the larger gathering. because it's almost like the Dead Sea in Israel. Like, if you, the reason it's dead is because it has inlets, so water continually flows and flows and flows into it, but there's no outlet for that water to get out, so therefore it's just become stagnant and it's dead. So all of us, we get poured into, we're getting revelation in the Word, we're hearing the message by Brother Joe preaching, but we don't have that outlet to share what the Lord's done. We become stagnant and bored. And so in the context of those small groups, it really, it's like a greenhouse for us to spiritually mature. It's the place where we can practice our giftings. If you feel like the Lord, you have a teaching gift, well, most likely, you're not going to come up to Joe and say, hey, man, I've got this awesome message, and I'd like to preach next Sunday. There'd probably be some vetting, and we'll see. Most likely, it's not going to happen, though. But if you're in the context of a small group, you got 8 to 10 people, hey, I think I've got something to share from the Word. That's a heck of a lot easier to start manifesting your teaching gift and practicing your teaching gift in that smaller group context. Same thing with the spiritual gifts. I remember the first time, you guys know Mike McLarty, always comes to the first service. He started a house church, and it was in my dad's house. My dad hosted it. This is 20-some years ago. And he was talking about healing and just the spiritual gifts, and I was so excited about it. And one night he was saying that, man, I've just got these heart problems, and it's pretty serious. I'm going to have to go to the doctor at some point. And so during our prayer time, I'm just like, well, are you talking about healing? This is all new to me. I'm just going to go pray and see what happens. So I go over, pray for him. Nothing happened. Like, God didn't come down and speak and part the Red Sea or anything like that. I just prayed and believed, and, like, that was awesome. Well, Mike called a couple of days after that, and he goes, you know what? Ever since you prayed for me, I have not had any heart problems. And for, like, a long period of time, like, his heart was made well. And I was just so blown away by that. It's like, wow, God, you use me on a simple, unanointed prayer that I didn't feel anything. But I prayed, and you healed Mike. Like, that's crazy and cool. So it just gives you the opportunity to start stepping out in faith and practice these spiritual gifts. The gift of prophecy is another one. If you feel like the Lord is showing you something, man, I just got this word for this person. But, like, in this big context, this is a little bit intimidating to, I don't know if I should share it. But if you have a relationship with a small group of 6, 8, 10 people, and you have that comfort level, you're a heck of a lot more bold to just, you know what, friend, you're not going to judge me. I feel like the Lord's showing this to me. And if it's wrong, they're not going to stone you. But most of the time, you're going to find out that you're actually hearing the voice of the Lord, and He really is prompting you, and He really does want to use you in this area. But if you don't have that safe environment of a small group to operate in that, it's really, really, really difficult to attain spiritual maturity. So, first one, recommit to the Word. The second one is to recommit to the body. And whatever that means for any of you, like, there's groups here, there's small groups here that you can plug into, or maybe the Lord is calling you to start one. The Lord's been on you, man, I just need to start one. Start a small group, but it's important that we have that context in order to grow. And then finally, the last one is to establish the kingdom in your community and be faithful in small and mundane things. So what that means is just being faithful day after day after day. We've got to see ourselves as ministers of the gospel and missionaries. No matter if you're an auto mechanic, if you're a construction worker, if you're the pastor of a church, functionally that doesn't matter. We're all ministers of the gospel. The first service was such a cool testimony during the greeting time. I got to connect with Dave and Agnes. A lot of you guys know them. But Dave was just telling me that one of his customers at work, he's like, man, his brother passed away, or a relative had passed away, and he was a believer, but he just said, you know what, your brother is in a better place right now. And the guy just kind of broke down and was like, wow, you're so right, and so encouraged him. Something so simple as your brother's in a better place. Like, I personally would never probably say that to somebody because it's so trite and it's so, like, automatic and, oh, your brother's in a better place. I wouldn't normally think to say that, but sometimes those simplest phrases are what can change the course of somebody's life. And the fact that he's just at work someday, he is interacting with the customer on a normal day, he speaks some simple thing like that, and the guy's just, like, super encouraged by that. So start to see yourself as a missionary in those little, mundane, simple things. So much I imagine personally, and I think everybody does this. Well, someday I'm going to have this ministry where I teach a house church and 100 people come, or we always go to the, if I'm not doing something big, then it doesn't really matter. But the fact is 99.9% of us are not going to have a big audience that we minister to. Most of us are never going to be the next Billy Graham. Most of us are not even going to be like Brother Joe or pastor that's talking to 100 people. But we're going to interact with people individually or in small groups day after day after day. And that's where the rubber really meets the road, is to be faithful in those little things. If you look at Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, that's what we're going to be judged on at the end of the day. It's our faithfulness. The parable where the one guy gets the 5 talents, the other guy gets the 2 talents, and then one gets 1. If you look at the one that were faithful with the 5 and the 2, they got the same exact reward, right? It's well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of my kingdom. There's no anything about that. It's they were faithful with that, you guys get the same reward. There's always going to be somebody that is a better public speaker or preacher than you are, a better worship leader. They're smarter than you are. They're more successful in their careers than you are. And on the opposite end, there's always going to be somebody that's not as successful as you are, that's not as gifted or as anointed as you are. And both of those are a total sin, and the sin of pride. Like you're puffing yourself over here, up over here, I'm better than this guy. And man, I'm just not as good as this guy over here. Well, both of those are so prideful because it's about me and myself. We got to get over that, right? We got to get over that. And so it's about faithfulness, and what the Lord's entrusting us is how we're going to be judged, not how gifted or talented we are. A friend of ours at the House of Prayer had a vision that was similar to this. She was just speaking and sharing at one time, and it just so impacted me. Because at the House of Prayer, like, you get so many gifted and anointed worship leaders and preachers, they just come by the droves. And it's super easy to compare yourself to all of these guys who are just amazing teachers, amazing worship leaders. And she was one of the main leaders in the House of Prayer when it first started, but then she gets married, starts to have kids, and then, well, you're not quite teaching as much anymore because you're changing diapers and you're doing very mundane things. You barely have time to get into the Word. So she's feeling the weight of that. And then, so she said that one day I was just praying and feeling this self-pity and this sorrow and all this stuff at church. And all of a sudden, the Lord just gives her a picture. She's at a track field, getting ready to get in her lane to run a race. Mike Bickle is next to her, and a couple of other famous people she's getting ready to run against. And she's got diaper bags packed on her. She's got a couple of kids that she's got holding, a stroller. She's like, there is no way I'm going to be able to win this race. How am I even going to be able? I can't even get off the finish line. And she goes, right then, the track just all completely narrowed down, and the lane was the only thing that she saw. Like, everything else went black. And then it's like the lane lit up, and all of her problems and all of the kids and all the diapers and everything else, it was still there, but nobody else was there. And it was just a picture of, this is what we're called to. It doesn't matter what this guy's called to, what this guy's doing. The gifts that we have, the challenges that we have, none of that matters. We're called to stay in this lane and run this way race and be faithful with what the Lord has entrusted us with. And I've just always just thought that was such a powerful picture. And the crazy thing is, we know this stuff, but sometimes it's good to be reminded of it because it's so simple, but we just don't do it a lot. So that's the last thing, is to be faithful wherever the Lord established you. I can remember before we moved to IHOP, I always wanted to be in full-time ministry because it just sounded so cool, and I just love people. I want to bless them and teach and da-da-da-da-da. And I was building houses at the time and laying brick with my dad in construction. And then I knew that I'm supposed to be a minister of the gospel just like I'm teaching you, but at the end of the day, I always felt a little bit less than that. Man, if I was just in full-time ministry, I know that I'm ministering to you, Lord. But now, being in full-time ministry over the past 12 or 13 years, I've got a greater just revelation and understanding that no, really, full-time ministry is not everything that it's cracked up to be. And really, a full-time minister is each and every one of us. being faithful in those little areas that the Lord brings you around. And I can think also, if you're a parent, like there is no greater form of discipleship than raising up your kids in the way they should go. Because it's not just a one-time Sunday deal where you're teaching them about Jesus and then they kind of go on and they get your best side and your most anointed, like sharing time and the happy you. Well, your kids get to see the sad you and the mad you and all the good, bad, and ugly. And so there's not a greater calling than discipling those little kids in your own house. So with that, we do communion, right, Marshall? Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team up. And the way I'd like to respond today is if any of those three areas are touching you and speaking to you this morning, I just want to invite you to respond in your own way. And as we get ready to take communion, to just ask the Lord to help you. That this is really a reset season for the body of Christ. Like with IHOP, he's doing a work, but it's always a good time for us to reset. But with just this extra added grace, I just believe the Lord really wants to meet you as you respond to the message, that he will help you have a quiet time, that he'll connect you with a small group. If you just say, yes, I want to do it, it's amazing that we just allow the Lord to start moving on our behalf with our simple yes. Or yes, I want to be faithful in those little things. So I just want to invite you to stand as Brian plays and just let it minister to you, the music minister to you. Respond to the Lord in any way that you want to and just tell him that re-sign up and then come up for communion and receive the elements. And then I know that I'll be here to pray with you guys if you need prayer for anything. And I know that Marshall and some of the other leaders will be up here too. I just want to invite you to come up for prayer as well. So I'm going to pray as Brian plays. Well, Lord, here we are, the ones that you love. Once again, God, we present ourselves to you. And I ask, God, that you would come and fill us with the fullness of who you are. Lord, we love you and we love your ways, and we just ask for forgiveness whenever we are not lining up to the way that we need to go. And I just ask, God, for these three areas, that you would help us, that you would give us your grace to respond in this hour, in this season. Lord, help us to carve out that space in the Word that you can speak to us and that you can wash over us with your Word. Lord, I ask that you would help us to find a group of believers who we can run this race with, that we can encourage, and they can encourage us. And Lord, I ask finally that you would help us to be faithful in the small and mundane things of life. Lord, we want to be found faithful. We want to hear, well done and good and faithful servant. So Lord, help us today as we respond to it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Aren't you glad that we serve the God of the reset? As I said, the first service, we don't have to wait like we have to do for our benefits at work. You have to renew every year. With God, it's any time. Here I am, God. Forgive me. Make me whole again. And just like that. But it's taken years for us to do. God, just like that, can take away. That's amazing to me. That's the awesomeness of God. I hope you've been blessed this morning. Let me pray for you, and then you're dismissed. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for all that you're going to do, for all that you're doing now in those kids' lives from VBS and in our lives this morning, Lord. I pray that we never forget, Lord, that you are the God of the second chance, the third, the fourth, the fifth chance. You're always waiting for us to hit the reset button if we need to, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for today, Lord. I pray that you go with us. Help us not only be hearers of the word, God, but doers now. As we go into a world that's hurting, that needs you, help us be that light in that darkness, that city on the hill. And we'll make sure that you get all the glory and all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, there'll be people up here to pray for you. If not, God bless. Have a great day.